Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Have you ever felt like no matter what you do, your victory always seems to be just out of reach? Well, today, Pastor Billy illustrates the scriptural keys to breaking out of the circumstances that are standing between you and your victory in this teaching titled, It's Only for a Season. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Hi, my precious friends. This is Pastor Billy. So good to be with you in this moment. I really believe that I have a word for you today that's going to be just, it's going to be powerful. I believe if you let this sink down inside of you and think about it, I want to give you some very special keys to victory. Right now, victory may seem like it's slow in coming. It may seem like it's not coming. And we don't want to play any more into the enemy's hands than what we already have. We want to break out of this. But we have to break out of ourselves before we break out of our circumstance. And after we break out of our circumstance, then we can break into what God has for us. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 30, there's just a mouthful of revelation in verses 5, 6, and 7. It talks about the anger of God and how it doesn't stay very long because he favors life. But then there's that classic verse that says, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, there's a season. There's a season for everything. A season is a time period. It could be 3 days, 3 years, 30 years. We don't know. But a season is a period of time in which God chooses to work something in you and work something out of you. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season, a time for this, and a time to be born, a time to die, and a time to give life, and a time to be healed. And that season is so vital to understanding how to beat the devil at his own game. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Why do you say that, Pastor? Because it's the enemy's plan to make you think that what you're in is forever. The injury that you received, the medication that you're on, the diagnosis that you have, the way that you feel, the way that it looks, and the way that it seems. He works every angle to make you think that your best days, best years are behind you, and that you'll never be strong again. You'll never be whole again. You'll never be happy again. You'll never be medication free again. You'll never be able to run or jump or do that particular hobby that you enjoyed so much. He lies and he lies. He's a perpetual serial liar. Why? Because the Bible don't say that. The Bible says that everything that anybody that you read experienced, that there was an expiration to their trial, an expiration date. Even Job, one of the worst cases in all of Scripture, had an ending in his trial. That's right. Every particular person that you read about, there came a conclusion to the time that they went through something, to the time that they suffered, to the time that they fought, to the time that they, even after the devil fought Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible says, and he departed him for a season. You know, so all through the Scriptures, there's a theme that God moves in cycles and he moves in seasons. And it's very, very important how you can use this. You can use this to your advantage. Why? Well, the very fact that you're involved in something right now that seems like it's taking forever, if you can begin to make a shift and say to yourself, this is just for a season, it changes everything. It changes everything. It's almost like whenever you go on vacation and you're somewhere far from home or a few hours from home, and you don't like where you're staying, you know that you're only on vacation, so you realize I can put up with this because, you know, we're going home in a couple days. And it's the same thing. And you've got to begin to treat whatever you're facing that seems to be barking, that seems to be huffing and puffing and saying, I'm going to blow down your door. I'm going to get to your children. I'm going to ruin your marriage. You'll be unhappy forever. You've got to begin to take, you know, an approach that says, no, 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 no. This is only for a season. Being in a wheelchair, being on a walker, being on medication, this is only for a season. You can't deny the reality of it because then that means that you're denying and you're deceived. You know, I'm not really using a walker. Well, you are and people see it. I'm not really medicated. Well, you are and people notice it. Well, I don't have these hearing aids in Jesus' name. Well, that's silly because people see them in your ears, and yes, you are. But how do you beat that? You beat that and you say, you know what? I am in this. I am fighting this, but I refuse to let it get in me and into my thinking and into my emotions because it's temporary. It's only for a season. My manifestation is about to take place in complete form. Especially if you already have 20% of your manifestation. You may have 30% as I'm speaking to you. The rest of that, the other 70, the other 80, is on the way and is going to happen. God has that plan. Well, how do you do this, Pastor? Number one, you do with attitude. You have to change your whole attitude. You know, over in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He was chained to a Roman guard. He was in the city of Rome itself. Rome had him. The chains seemed to have him. Connected to a Roman centurion. He had restricted access. It seemed like in every possible way that Paul had limitations, that he was a prisoner of Rome, that he was a prisoner of this centurion. And you know what Paul said? I am a prisoner of the Lord. He said, you may have me on the chain, and you may have me in Rome, but you don't have me at all, because I am not your prisoner on the inside. That's where you have to begin to win, is on the inside. Why? Because a lot of times your manifestations of what you want don't happen right away. Thank God some of them do. Some of them don't. Some of them have roots. The manifestation of the sycamore tree didn't happen right away. It took 24 hours for that tree to be uprooted. And that was with the words of Jesus himself. Isn't that amazing? Even the very words of Jesus couldn't produce that tree being uprooted immediately. Take comfort in that. That it took a 24-hour time period for that to take place. Even in the death of Jesus, it took 3 days for that to manifest. Goliath fought Israel for 40 days. All we read about is the day that David killed the giant, but he had been there 40 prior days, tormenting day and night. Noah's flood, 40 days and 40 nights. All of these stories in the Bible, even Daniel's den was overnight, 24 hours. So we see different time periods, you know, 24 hours, 3 days, 40 years in the wilderness, 400 years in Egypt. Well, we know that's nonsense. That can't happen because of the lifespan of people today. But listen to me. This still plays into your situation. This is something that God wants you to know that he will sustain you until the breakthrough comes. And the breakthrough does come because God does not lie. God does not give false hope. This has to be beat with an attitude. You know, it'd be great right now if your situation could instantly change. If it's not instantly changing, then you've got to shift into an attitude that says, you know what, this is just for a season. And the more that enemy speaks to your head and says, no, this is forever, that's whenever you have to take the approach of this attitude. Sorry, I'm going to take the same route that the Apostle Paul took. I'm not a prisoner to that false voice. I'm not a prisoner to the wheelchair. I'm not a prisoner to the medication. I'm not a prisoner to the little bit of money that's in my bank account. This too will change. This too will pass. I am a prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of his promises. I'm a prisoner of his prophecies. I'm a prisoner of the victories that I know that I experienced in the past. He was faithful then, and he'll be faithful now. See, that's attitude. That's attitude. You know how to get an attitude. You know how to get an attitude. You know, and it's so important that, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, that you get an attitude when someone is trying to steal any one of your rights as a born-again, covenant-believing believer. Because we do have covenant rights. The Bible says in Psalm 105, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not his benefits. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of the benefits. So we come with a package. You know, we come with salvation and a boatload of benefits. And it's very, very important that you keep that in front of you. And one of those benefits is what? Healed, whole, restored, sound, rooted, grounded, favored, you know, appointed, anointed. These are all benefits that always don't come as easy as most people seem and think it comes. There's a battle. There's opposition. There's a fight. There's a headwind. You know, there's something fighting against you to keep you from getting into that place of victory, because the ripple effect you're going to have on so many people in your family, at your church, at your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, your shadow is going to loom large wherever you go, and people's going to begin to see something's going on there, because you become a miracle in motion. Why? Because you don't accept where you are. It may be a fact, but it's not the truth. It's a fact that you have a cane. It's a fact that you're medicated. It's a fact that you're limping on one leg. That's a fact. But the truth is that by his stripes, you're healed. The truth is that what people see is only for a season. The truth is that that medication that you take is not going to be taking you much longer. Beat it with an attitude. Beat it, number two, with the word of God, the very word that I'm using to you. Begin to say, you know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, everything for a season. Begin to say, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Begin to believe the word of God. You know, let God's word come out of your mouth, not your own. And if you're going to speak your own words, then paraphrase what God said. He wrote that down for you to have a navigatable passage out of where you are. The Bible says in James 3 that the tongue is a ready rudder of a ship, and that ready rudder will navigate you out of troubled waters. Use your mouth. Your mouth gets you into trouble. Guess what? Your mouth can get you out of trouble. And just begin to say to yourself, because you're the first person that's got to be convinced. You're never going to convince the devil till you convince yourself. You're never going to convince the sycamore tree, the mountain, the fig tree. You're never going to convince anything to move in your life until you first convince yourself. You've got to get like the Apostle Paul, where you are fully persuaded. I mean, there's not a ray of doubt. There's not a speck of dandruff. There's not a crack in the door. I mean, there is no possible way that you're anything but healed. You aren't moving because you believe that God said it, that settles it, and this is what's going to happen. And when you begin to get that convicted, and when you begin to get that sound, that sure, that persuaded, you know, and you've settled that within yourself, then something will begin to change all around you. Because now you're speaking not just from your mouth, you're speaking from the word of God through your mouth. You're speaking from heaven through your mouth. You're speaking by way of the Holy Spirit through your mouth. So now it's no longer just you saying words, airing frustration, giving yourself false hope. Now you have taken ownership of a promise. You've taken ownership of the red letters. You've taken ownership of God-breathed revelation. And when you take ownership of that, and you've decided, no matter what I feel, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what these voices are saying to me, I say today, this is only for a season. This is how you begin to defeat, you know, this situation that wants to make it seem like. I've prayed for so many people as, you know, with long term. And I'll tell you what happens when you have something a long time and you begin to settle into the fact it's not going to go away. Depression hits you. Why does depression hit you? Because you're wired to not have that. You are a king's kid. You're a child of the Most High God. You are an heir and you're a joint heir, you know, and we're not wired to just accept everything, you know, forever. Like I said, you have to identify and accept, you know, the situation for a season. And that's why you don't receive any condemnation. You're not under any pressure from any other person, including yourself. Because so for a season, you know what? I'm going to get through this. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to help out at church. If I have to lick envelopes, pass out this and do that, whatever I got to do, I'm going to stay busy about the Father's business, because I'm just here biding my time, because this is subject to change. Now, how can you stay on this kind of course? You got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to go before God wherever you do that, in your car, in your prayer room at home, you know, somewhere out in your backyard, if you have to visit somewhere, a church, or wherever you go, that you can feel like you can put your hands up in the air and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I need to be empowered. My tank is empty. I'm on a quarter of a tank. Fill me once again with the river of God. Fill me once again with that presence from heaven. Fill me once again, mighty one. Oh, I pray for the infilling of the mighty, mighty Holy Spirit. And get empowered when that Holy Spirit, and He will. I want to say this. He will fill you again, and there'll be a surge. Sometimes you'll have an emotional reaction. Sometimes you'll just have to accept it by faith. Either way, that Holy Spirit will fill you again. He's promised to do that. He's promised to help you. He's promised to come alongside you. He's promised to empower you. He's promised to either give you the knowledge, send the person, or do it himself. I'm going to say that again. He's promised to give you the information, a secret combination, a course of action, or he's promised to send somebody who will hold the rod out over the sea for you. Or he said, you know what? This one's on me. This one is on me. I'm just going to raise Lazarus all by myself. Lazarus had no way to cooperate. Lazarus had no way to do anything but say yes and come out of the grave. So sometimes God just does it all by himself. Sometimes he sends a Moses to hold the rod out for you. Or sometimes he does what he did for Noah. Here's a plan. Fulfill the plan. Build the boat. You and your family are spared. However, it's going to change. It's going to change. So don't go by what it seems like. Go by what God says. Don't go by what it feels like. Go by what God says. Don't let it be like what people are portraying to you or what the internet says. Go by what God says. Let God be true and everybody else a liar. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that nobody, no, their opinion, their personal experiences, all the facts about this particular kind of illness or this kind of, listen to me, that's not what we go by. We go by what the Bible says. We go by what Jesus himself said. We go by the apostles. We go by the many, many testimonies you've heard over wonderful meetings and television and the books you've read about the faithfulness of our God. How nothing, Mark 10:27, nothing is impossible with God. So beating this with an attitude, beating this with the Word of God, finding the scriptures I'm speaking to you of, this is only for a season, staying filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when you begin to obey the Lord and begin to show this fourth kind of effort, you can abbreviate the time. Some seasons are completely abbreviated because of, you know, there's the story, I love the story, you know, where the man knocked on the neighbor's door at midnight. It's in the Gospels, and he said, you know, I have a friend coming, I need 3 loaves. And the owner of the house said, come back in the morning. But the man kept beating on the door. I need 3 loaves, he's here tonight, come back in the morning. Finally, the man got up out of bed, went down to the door, opened him up and said, here's your 3 loaves. In other words, he was only going to give him the bread in the morning. But because the man kept knocking at the door, he changed the time of receiving. God said, I will move on your behalf. What you're in can be abbreviated. Don't let seeking God become more difficult than entertaining negativity. It's so easy to get negative, so easy to yield to anger. It's so easy to voice your frustration and complain. It just comes easy. That's part of the old nature. But that new nature, swimming upstream. I tell people any dead fish can float downstream. It's easy to be the old you. It's hard to be this new creation, fighting against the circumstance, fighting against your feelings, fighting against what some people that you love are saying to you. Get used to it. You'll be okay. I've had that. Took me 10 years. Don't worry about it. At least you're alive. There's so many people, all they want to do is survive. God don't want you to survive. God wants you to overcome. He wants you to be a full-time overcomer, and you will. Because you're listening to this very CD, because you're hungry to hear information, because you're open to hear something that's going to unlock the chain that has you. That's how I know you're going to overcome. Continue to stay a partner. Continue to sow seed into this ground. Continue to be faithful to your God. Continue to meditate and memorize and speak God's word over your situation. And continue to say out loud. Say it out loud. This is just for a season. This is just for a season. You know, it's like your boss is going away for a month and he wants you to babysit, you know, his 2 pet cats. Well, you say yes because he's your boss. You don't want to upset your boss. So these two cats come into your house and you've never had a cat in your house in your life. Well, you find out real quick that you need a litter box. You find out real quick that these cats meow and they do other things. And guess what? You can't wait till your boss comes home. You cannot wait to get these cats back. You don't kill the cats. You just say, I don't have these cats forever. You know in the back of your mind that those cats are going to be handed back over in a time period. The same is true with your hearing aid. Same is true with your chemotherapy. Same is true with your walker and your cane. Same is true with everything that you're going through. Listen to me. You're going to hand it back over to the devil and say, I'm done with this. It didn't hold me. It couldn't hold me. Because my God that lives in me, you know who that is, Jesus. Your grave could not keep him. The whipping post could not stop him. The spitting and the scourging could not derail him. Everything you've done to me will not derail me. It'll not stop me. I will rise again. I will come up and out of this broken system. I will come up and out of this circumstance. And you begin to talk to yourself. Like I said, you have to break out of you before you break out of your situation. Until you break out of you, your situation has you. But the moment you begin to say, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, this is just for a season, and you begin to stay true to that, you watch the anointing, you watch the presence of God, something will take place on based on what the authority of what the Word of God says. That's why Jesus continued to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the vine. I am he that ever lives. Why did he practice that confession? He practiced positive affirmation. He was saying, it may seem like you have me, but you don't. He told Pilate, you don't even have any power unless my Father gives it to you. You know, whenever Jesus was standing before Pilate, you know, I mean, Pilate was just giving the impression, oozing out of him, I have power over you. I have control over you. You're done. You better straighten out. Listen to me. You're going to be around a lot of people. That's who we are. We're social creatures. We go to work. We go to church. We go to the store. You know, we go to the spa. And people are going to dump their stuff on you. They're going to share their experiences. They're going to tell you what they read in a magazine, what they saw on TV, what happened to their cousin. They don't mean to be negative. They don't mean to be sentencing you to a lifelong thing, but some people just don't have the Word of God in them. And all I'm saying is that you have to become a watchkeeper over your own soul. And so you can't let people root seeds in you that contaminate you. Yet you can't, you know, I don't expect you to, you know, and every time somebody says something, say, that's not true, I don't receive it, because then you'd be getting in a fight with all these people. So what you have to do is this is what I do. I hear it all the time. I just say, wow. I say, I understand. I never say I agree. I say, I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. You did read that. I understand. You see, because I do understand. I understand they're ignorant in the area of miracles. I understand they're ignorant in the area of having enough faith to believe for themselves. I understand that they are going by what other people say, not by what God says. So I understand that. I don't agree with that. But I don't want to offend them. I don't want the devil to win by, you know, me losing a friendship or hurting a relative. So what you have to do is you have to be strong enough to say, I understand, I understand. And then when you walk away, then you say, I don't receive that. That's not what God says. This too shall pass. Weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. This is just for a season. You know, and now if it calls for sometimes making a stand and making that statement to somebody where you can do that and you need to, you know, you need to wrangle a little bit, then by all means do that. But the main thing is that you realize you can't continue to let people plant any seeds they want in you, and then you have a garden full of some fruit, some weeds. And then sometimes you have more weeds than some vegetables and some fruit. You don't want that. So you need to what? Weed out as you go when you leave the company of people. When you walk away from a television show where there was negativity, make sure you say, Lord, I know they're not talking about me. I say it all the time. You're not talking about me. I'm not included in your statistic. You're not talking about me. Because I continue to drive the fact that God is talking about me. Isaiah 53 is talking about me. Deuteronomy 25 is talking about me. The blessing of Deuteronomy 28 talking about me. That's what you have to begin to do, that you have to be the watchkeeper, because people are going to continue to be negative. And if they find a place to dump, they're going to dump right on you. And the devil's going to use that to plant fear and hopelessness, and you're going to begin to think like it's never going to happen. You can't stop people, but you can stop from receiving it on your end. Rise up today, you know, and say, I'm no garbage dump. Rise up today and say, I'm no toxic waste dump. Rise up today and say, I'm not a resting place for negative words and people's experiences. Rise up today and say, I am a resting place for the written word of God, the final authority in my life. It's settled in the heavens. He watches over his word to perform it. I'm going with God. And this is just for a season. Come on, begin to believe today that what you're in, what you're facing is just for a season. It's just temporary. This too shall pass. And whatever it is that God may want to use to abbreviate, pay attention. It may be a repentance. He may be waiting for you to admit that you're sorry for something. It could just stop everything. It may be that you have to ask somebody for forgiveness. It could just stop everything. It could be that he wants you to become more positive, you know, that could just stop everything. It could be that he wants you to pay your tithes and pay your offerings. That could just stop everything. It's amazing. Sometimes a little handle opens a big door. And I mean by that is sometimes it's just a little thing that God's wanting of you to do that's going to change this season and abbreviate it sooner rather than later. You know, years ago, I had been really bothered the fact that it took the children of Israel 400 years to get out of Egypt. It bothered me because, you know, none of us are living the 400 years today. So whenever you see they're there 400 years, you think, what hope is there for me? It seems like a lifelong sentence. And I said, Lord, why did it take them so long? I mean, it says you heard their cry. Did it take you a long time to hear their cry? And here's what he said to me, and this is for you, and I want you to get this. He said, Billy, I heard their cries right away, but it took 400 years for their cries to get vertical. They cried in themselves. They cried to each other. They cried about their circumstance. But it took 400 years before they looked up and began to cry, oh, Lord, deliver us. And sometimes that's a picture of us today. You know, we cry to each other. We cry within ourselves. Woe is me. We cry to other people. Oh, I need help. I need prayer. And we don't take the time to look up and realize the same God that brought them out of Egypt, the same God that opened the Red Sea, the same God that brought manna and quail and water out of a rock, that same God who came in the form of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, that same Jesus who performed the miraculous, walked on water, walked out of a grave. I mean, that same Jesus lives on the inside of you. I'm telling you today, my friend, I am so pumped about this because I just sense the anointing coming right through this CD into your body, touching cells, touching organs, touching tissue, touching bones. People are being healed right now. The power is healing all forms of arthritis, breaking loose medication, stopping dialysis, two times a week, not three, one time a week, not three. God is doing an amazing work right now. He's abbreviating seasons. He's abbreviating seasons. You're not in this forever. This is just for a season. Bless my partner. Bless my friend, I pray. In Jesus' name. I hope you enjoyed this teaching today. Go to our website, billyburke.org, and by all means, our program, Miracles Today. I'm not sure what city you're in, but if you're somewhere outside of the television coverage, the network areas, go to the website. There's a button, Miracles Today. Click onto that. And while you're on there, go and navigate through the system. We're putting things on there as rapidly as we can to get you healed, to get you strong, to get you restored so God can get you into the workforce of winning the lost, healing the sick, setting the captives free. This is Pastor Billy Burke saying, I love you, I'm praying for you, and I'm believing that the favor is going to fall on you in a way you've never, ever seen it before. God bless you.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.